Good evening, everybody. It is 7 p.m. and I would like to call this October 12th, 2020 general meeting to order. Madam Clerk, can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Tanya Lewis.
Sorry, present.
Did you hear? Councilmember Joe Clark.
Here.
Vice Mayor Vander Zanden.
Here.
Councilmember Owens. Councilmember Owens.
Here. Here.
Mayor Cannamore.
Here.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
And Councilmember Buckeye.
Here.
There are seven members present and a quorum exists.
Councilmember Owens, would you like to read our vision statement, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Let me grab it real quick. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. Before getting the meeting started, I would like to ask that the public mute their phones and keep their video off. I'd also like to let people know that this meeting is being recorded and it will also be posted to the website. Our clerk is sharing her screen, which is projecting the packet. You can also find it available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. If you would like to speak during public comment, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen and click the raised hand. If you are using your computer, when it is time to speak, it's easiest to hold down the space bar on the keyboard while talking to temporarily unmute. Moving on to item three, approval of minutes from our September 21st, 2020 general meeting. And our October 9th, 2020 special meeting, I will entertain a
Madam Mayor, I move that we approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from 9/21/2020 and the special meeting minutes from 10/9/2020.
I second that.
It's been moved by Councilmember Vander Zanden, Vice Mayor Vander Zanden and Councilmember Clark. The minutes have previously been distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, are there any objections to passing the general meeting minutes from 9/21/2020 and the special meeting minutes from 10/9/2020 by unanimous consent? Seeing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. Moving on to Mayor's request for agenda changes, I have none. Is there any council comment? Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to item 5, committee reports and staff reports. I'd like to ask presenters to state your name, department, and keep your reports to 5 minutes or less. And we'll go ahead and start with our fire chief, Travis Miller.
Hello, and thank you, new council members, for your first day of having to listen to me blabble for a little bit officially as a council member. Anyways, I don't got much to talk about today. I just want to let you guys know on our call volume right now, we have, we're on call 28 for the year to date. Last year at this time, we had 57 calls. So we're pretty far down on the call volume, but every one of our calls has been a pretty good call where somebody needed some attention. The tsunami siren is on its way to town. I just got a call from Sampson Tug and Barge that it's in Juneau and that it's gonna be passed on to the next shipping company at some point and be installed over there by the DRC in the small boat harbor, right across from that little driveway right after the DRC entrance. The point of entry testing tent area facility, whatever you want to call it, we signed a new contract a couple days ago extending the date until December 31st. I got permission. We kind of run this on a month by month basis depending on what's kind of going on. The reason is because we're not really a point of entry anymore. All the other 9 airports all have direct flights from down south some at some point during their day. So we're the only place that doesn't have that. So we're kind of like they're just letting us do this, which is pretty cool. So I got approval today to finish out until December 31st. So we'll keep doing that until December 31st, obviously. But we'll be changing our hours again. So be aware of that. Starting November 1st, seaplane switches to 1 flight a day. So we'll be working around that flight, which is at, I believe, at 10, departs around 10:30. So that will change in the near future. And then if the state disaster declaration, if you guys don't know, that comes up for some sort of reapproval or extension on November 15th. So if that doesn't happen, it should. The governor said something that he's not going to talk about it until after the elections. But that should, hopefully, fingers crossed, with the contract being extended to the 31st, should get extended, hopefully, to the end of the year. If that doesn't, we got to start thinking about all of the state, that means all the state mandates disappear and are no longer valid. And a lot of that stuff, most of the testing would disappear. So we're hoping that he does do that. So I hope that we are looking at possibly writing and making sure that we are in favor of him extending that anyways, in the near future. Anyways, I don't got much more to, I was going to tell you because I sent it out late and I didn't get it into the packet that we've done 861 tests total so far. 29 tests were pending, 6 positives, 5 unique patients, and 826 negatives. And that was as of 5 days ago. So new numbers will come out tomorrow. Anyways, that's all I got. We'll talk to you then, or if you have any questions.
Thanks very much, Travis. Do any council members have clarifying questions for Travis? Go ahead, Councilmember Owens.
Hi, Travis. When you say that if the state disaster declaration isn't renewed, most testing would disappear, I was wondering if you could explain that.
Yeah, most of the state asymptomatic testing is being funded through the disaster and some CARES money. I guess it would, some of that would stay like the, I guess the asymptomatic testing through SURGE would be covered because that's a different grant system through one of the, they have a different grant for that, but the airport testing all around the state would disappear because that's covered under Mandate 10 and all funded through this disaster money somehow.
Thank you.
That's what I mean.
Are there any other council questions for Travis? Council Member Lewis, go ahead.
Yeah, so just to be clear, port of entry testing tent will go through December 31st if the state disaster declaration is extended or regardless?
As of right now, it's going to go through December 31st. That's what they have. But if for some reason the governor doesn't extend the state disaster declaration, any of the mandates that are in place all disappear and go away. So that point of entry testing would go away. So as of right now, we're good. There's no reason that he shouldn't extend it. The federal disaster has been extended and a lot of money rides on him extending it to cover a lot of the state expenditures.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes, just for clarification, November 15th, the governor will give his clarification on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's got a few options. He can extend it for 30 days. The governor can do that. He can call in the legislators to start a session, or they can call themselves in to a session to work on an extension for it. Those are the three options.
Thank you, Travis.
Okay, are there any other council questions for Travis?
Can I add one more thing real fast, Brittany, that I forgot to put in there from questions that I heard during over the last few days are, I'm asking SURGE about testing after December, after the new year. I've got a lot of questions out about testing after the new year. And I'm also asking on some updates on the clinic construction project, any dates, if that's still in the works, are we on hold or any timeline that we can give an update to the people in the community. So those are questions that I've also been asking SURGE. And I'm hoping to have some answers here in the next week or so, or before the next meeting.
Thanks very much, Travis. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to our library quarterly report.
Hello, this is Michelle. Welcome new council and old council. Glad to have you here. Thanks for putting in the time. So you can see our staff report here. I'll just go through the highlights of it. We've been continuing to do our curbside services 5 days a week, which include assistance over the phone and email, especially for printing. We've done quite a bit of that. Our internship program has been extended, and that has been incredibly useful for giving Jen and I a bit more time to do the regular parts of our jobs, since we've also been doing a lot of the volunteer jobs as well. We also hosted a virtual book club, and that seemed to be fairly successful over Zoom, and then Jen has continued to do grab-and-go activity kits. So some other highlights for the summer. We did 122 activity kits, and we recently got more CARES funding to continue those kits. So you'll continue to see those, which is excellent. And We have received a lot of book requests, which those purchases are going through right now. Our interlibrary loan services, that's where we get requests from patrons for books or DVDs, any materials that we don't have, and we'll ask our state library representative, who will find the book for us somewhere else, and then they bring it into town. So we've had 184 this fiscal year, and that's up significantly from last year. Things that we have coming up, we are hoping to reopen for appointments in November, and I believe Tom's going to talk about that for you guys. Until then, we're continuing curbside services. And then this Halloween, we will have a creepy haiku contest and then drive-through trick-or-treating. And then there will also be some Halloween activity kits. And we hope to do the endowment grant this year. We are trying to find the time, but we have some great ideas. We just finished our PLA grant report. This is a grant we get from the state. It's $7,000 in money that we can spend on materials. And so that's where the majority of our money comes from to buy books. So we just did the report from this, showing how we've spent the money, and then it puts us in good standing to apply for the grant in future years. Our custodial contract's been filled. Sylvia has started, and we are very grateful to have her. And then last meeting, the roof RFQ was passed, and so we're looking forward to getting our roof fixed. And the last thing is Bree finished her job here at the library during this quarter, and she's been incredibly helpful in getting me started into this job. So thank you, Bree. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. Go ahead,
Joe. Thank you, Michelle. I've had a couple of people ask me about the use of the computers inside the library. Do you have a projected November date for partial opening, and will they be able to use the computers because they don't have their own inside the library?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Joe. So we do have a whole phase two plan written out, and for phase two, it's our hope is that we can open November 4th for appointments by appointments, and that's for households or single individuals only. And yes, the computers will be open and available for that, and then as well as the rest of the library at this time.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other council questions for the library? All right. Thank you, Michelle and Jen, for all your hard work. It's greatly appreciated. We're going to go ahead and move on to our treasurer monthly financials. There's no report, but this was in the packet. And if you have questions, you can contact Phoebe, but we'll just have these up here for a second. And she's on the call too. Does anybody have any questions for Phoebe? Okay. City Administrator General Meeting Report. Go ahead, Tom, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening. There's an information packet that staff is developing, and as soon as I speak with the mayor, we will get that information packet out to the council members. It's basically a much shorter version of the WhatsApp binder that the council received last year. It will have summaries of the departments, and then encourage any of the council members who want to speak one-on-one with any of the department heads or have any questions and we can address those directly. As far as the November date for the library opening up their appointment-only schedule, as well as other departments, that'll be a topic I speak to the mayor about shortly, and then after we coordinate, we'll get that information out to the rest of the council and the public. To the report, all the direction items were addressed during the work session last week. Some updates and touch on the different points. The steel float request for bids has gone out. We expect to have responses back by the 19th of October to find out about what the cost could be for this project. As most of you know, as we've gone through this, the actual work for this project is much different than what we were expecting when the state introduced the project last year. So I give a big thank you to council member or vice mayor Van der Zanden and marine facilities coordinator Ben Sadler, as well as Mike Halby and the others who have been working down at the float to try to figure out how we're going to make this thing work. So big kudos out to those folks. The CARES Act projects that we discussed at the work session, the marketing campaign Susan Warner was working on has some initial development working with Gustavus Visitors Association. However, Susan is not going to be able to be the point of contact on this project. And if there are any council members who wish to either take the lead or work on this project, if you could get a hold of me, then we could look at how we could try to finish developing this project and get some funds out to different small businesses and nonprofits so they can get some assistance in developing language for their web pages to help market their small business or nonprofit and Gustavus to specific groups such as independent travelers. The community food program that Susan and Kimber have been working on is moving along. We received the grinder and the sealer. Those items have been moved over to Kimber's kitchen. We are working on, I should say, Kimber and Susan are working on a use agreement to finalize, and then we'll be able to get that coordinated with distribution points and hopefully have the agreements and distribution coordinated in time for the return of what is hopefully a bunch of halibut. The community harvest permit has been received from NOAA, and that permit and the permit sticker has been delivered to a qualified fisher who has volunteered to help get halibut over to the kitchen for processing and use this winter for those in need and others. A big thank you to James Proctor for going out and getting the halibut for the community and bringing it over to Kimber's Kitchen, and I'm hopeful that there'll be a group of volunteers that will help process that fish and get it ready for distribution this season. The CARES Act Fund, there's a spreadsheet attached to this report. It was developed late last week. One point of interest on that is the resident emergency economic stimulus program. We have approximately 140 to 150 applications in at this point. So that program is being well advertised, and we're doing well in getting our applications back. As you know, this is a three-step funding grant from the state through the CARES Act funding. Each one of the steps requires a certain amount of expenditure before we can request the following. As you can see in the box on the screen, our first payment, $381,144,000. Second payment, which requires 80% of the first payment to have been spent, at $125,268. And then duplicate amount for the third payment. The third payment requires release of 80% of the first and second payments. So we're working toward getting all those funds spent. As you can see by the table below, we've done pretty well so far in obligating the funds. We spent to date of this report $282,328. We've identified the projects below with a very approximate remaining unallocated funds at $40,000. So if this project, these projects go as planned, we'll be real close in expending all of the funds from the CARES Act. That's my report, unless there's any questions that council members have.
Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Councilmember Owens.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is, I guess, to Tom. We spoke about a CARES proposal for doing testing at the work session and discussed a purchase order with Surge. I haven't been able to contact the person at Surge to get details and find out whether that's something that could be done fairly quickly, but their grant, testing grant, ends on December 19th, and we don't know whether they'll be getting an additional grant. I'd like to allocate, if we have unallocated funding, and it sounds like between last week and this week, it's another 10,000 has been allocated. But if the current testing for the PCR test is about 175 per test, although Travis thinks that there's a possibility of a bulk rate test fee. So I would like to sort of earmark any unexpended unallocated funds for extending the testing beyond what the Surge clinic is able to do. I don't know that that would be airport testing, since that requires people to staff the airport. I suppose that would be up to Surge to tell us whether it would be the Saturday asymptomatic testing. I guess I would just point out that of the tests, of the six positives in the community, all six were asymptomatic, and all were caught by testing, five at the airport and one at the Saturday Surge clinic. So I would like to proceed. I'll get as much information as I can. Hopefully I'll be able to pin it down next week.
Okay, well, thank you, Shelley. Just remember that we have to spend the money by December 30th. So I'm not sure what the logistics on that look like, but when you talk to Surge, if you could discuss with them how we would do that so that the funds would be spent ahead of time. If we spend it test by test, clearly we have to have it all done by December 30th. If we're able to contract and so we just need to be clear on being able to have spent the money. I'm not sure how the contract would work. And that, of course, assumes that the council agrees with the project. Thank you.
Are there any other council questions for Tom? Okay, thank you very much, Tom. We're going to move on to item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. This is a period for the public to comment on non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, you can unmute your phone. Our clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's time for you to speak. Please state your full name before speaking. And if a comment has already been made, please refrain from repeating that from another speaker. And we'll go ahead and open it up. Julie Howell, I see your hand. You can go ahead if you're ready.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, hang on just a sec.
Hi, John and Julie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm speaking. I guess it's Julie's name on this. I just wanted to say and possibly make a recommendation to the council that Julie and I think that Lisa LaGrange has done a very admirable job in the clinic during this pandemic, sort of keeping the community together in terms of health. And that may be particularly true of us old folks. And both Lisa and her staff, I think, have really devoted themselves to the community in extra fashion. And I don't know if the council would consider this, but perhaps a statement of recognition and of appreciation for Lisa's hard work during this pandemic would be very appreciated by her.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to both of you. Are there any council members that would like to ask a clarifying question to John or Julie? Go ahead, Council Member Clark.
No question. I can just heartily agree with that. I think they deserve recognition. They've really done a wonderful job.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to make a comment at this time on non-agenda items? Okay, seeing none, and there will be another opportunity at the end of this if you think of something. But seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and move on to new business. And next item on the agenda is item 10A, the award for the RFQ for FY20-02RM for fiscal year 21 snow plowing, and I will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is Councilman Clark. I move to award RFQ FY21-02RM for fiscal year 21 snow plowing.
I'll second that.
It has been moved by Councilmember Clark and seconded by Vice Mayor Vander Zanden. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to open it up for council discussion and debate. I see no council comment. Madam Clerk, We appear to be ready for the question. Can I get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Mayor Canema?
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Buckeye?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, moving on to City Council reports. Are there any council members wishing to make a report on special projects? Okay, moving on to City Council questions and comments that don't have items on the agenda. Councilmember Owens, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to just follow up with the Howell's recommendation or the suggestion for, and if this is something we could do before the next meeting, I think that would be a good idea. Is that, what do we need to do that? I mean, can I work with them to prepare a commendation for the clinic and provide it to the mayor for signature, or how do we proceed with this? I mean, I'm assuming that everyone, you know, agrees.
Yeah, thank you, Shelley. I'm certainly on board and think it's a great idea. If you would like to get together with the Howells and put something together, I think that would be great. I'm also happy to work with staff to put something together. So why don't you go ahead and take the lead on that, Shelley, if you'd like to? Otherwise, I...
No, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Are there any other council comments on non-agenda items? Okay. Item 13, public comment on non-agenda items. This is your last chance for public comment on non-agenda items. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move on to item 14, which is our executive session, and I will entertain a motion. Councilmember Taylor?
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember Taylor. I move to that the council proceed into executive session for the discussion of a legal matter critical.
Are there any council objections? Okay, seeing none, we are going to pass the motion by unanimous consent to move into executive session. I'd like to let the public know that at this time, the council is going to be entering into a breakout room for the executive session. No action is expected to be taken after this session, and council will be returning to the general meeting Zoom once we are finished to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for attending the general meeting. I'm going to go ahead and close the general meeting and open the executive session. The time is 7:40 p.m.
Hi, this is Shelley. Hello, am I heard? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, then I should drop the expletives. I don't see the breakout room. I see, what does the breakout room look like? Who am I talking to?
This was Susan. You need to go find where Karen and company are.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Susan. I guess I'll do that.
Okay, I think we are all back from our executive session, which closed at 8:03 p.m. If there are no objections, I will adjourn our general meeting. The time is 8:04 p.m. Thanks, everybody.